Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Criminalia, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Welcome to Criminalia, where it's pirate season. We're continuing to explore the lives and motivations of some of the most notorious freebooters throughout history. I'm Maria Tremurki.
And I'm Holly Fry. You will hear the first name of today's topic pronounced a couple of different ways. You may hear it Stayed. Or Steed. We've said both, actually, on the show before. Mm-hmm. We're going to go with Steed for today, but if one of us says it the other way or we flip back and forth, just know we're just honoring the possibilities with that. But Steed Bonnet was a wealthy plantation owner, a family man, a former major in the Barbados militia. Bonnet, though, was also a gentleman who was struck with, quote, a humor of going pirating.
You don't really hear humor and pirating so much together, but Steve is an interesting kind of guy. He was born in 1688 to Edward and Sarah Bonnet, who were a wealthy couple that owned an estate of over 400 acres southeast of Bridgetown. Bridgetown today is the capital of the island of Barbados, but then this was part of a colony of the British Empire, so a little bit different than today. Though the family were originally from England, Steed was born into the second or possibly third generation of Bonnets of Barbados. His parents died young, though, and Steed inherited the family's 400-acre sugar plantation. He married Mary Allenby in 1709 and lived on the estate with their three sons, Allenby, Edward, and Steed, and their daughter, Mary.
The record of Bonnet's life really begins with his military service, though, although the details do get a little bit fuzzy. We do know that he held the rank of major in the Barbados militia, and in fact, major became a nickname that stuck with him throughout his life. Though his time with the militia coincided with the War of Spanish Succession, there is no record that he actually took part in combat. It is, though, highly likely that he was involved in suppressing armed uprisings by enslaved persons who were fighting for their freedom. At the time, this was an important function of the militia. Any such uprisings would also have been something of a personal matter to Bonnet, as well as he relied on enslaved labor to keep his sugar plantation successful.
That successful business owner decided to reinvent himself as a pirate. He was not really your typical pirate, if there really is such a thing as a typical pirate. He wasn't the only pirate to do so, but he chose piracy over his aristocratic lifestyle. Many pirates, such as unemployed sailors or laborers, chose the lifestyle because they didn't have many options.
That raises the question, why did Bonnet leave his home and take to the seas? A lot of historians suggest that while he was wealthy and led a respectable life, he was kind of just looking for something bigger and more adventurous. And all of these stories that he was hearing about pirates were very appealing.
There's a book called A General History of the Robberies and Murders of the Most Notorious Pirates. And it's an almost encyclopedic account of piracy, as well as biographies of many of the pirates during, in particular, the rise of the Golden Age of Piracy. It was published in 1724, which was after Bonnet's death, but it included stories of details about everyone from Blackbeard, Anne Bonny, Bartholomew Black Bart Roberts, and Stede Bonnet.
So this two-volume set quickly became a hit and became the go-to source for the stories of a lot of well-known pirates of the time. And the details may be embellished. In fact, most historians agree that they are. But it is generally believed to be at least based in factual information, largely garnered from such sources as trial records and personal letters. And it turned the pirates of this era into exotic and colorful characters. Their stories became myth. The author's name, Captain Charles Johnson, is widely considered to have been a pseudonym, and there is great speculation that it may have actually been Daniel Defoe who authored that work. Defoe, as you probably know, was a British novelist, but he did a lot of other things in his lifetime. He worked as a journalist, as a political pamphleteer, and even a spy. Many of us know his name because he wrote Robinson Crusoe. And these books really are responsible for shaping our perception of pirates, including some fact, such as Blackbeard's flaming beard, and some myth, like wooden legs and parrots. Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island, as well as J.M. Barrie's character Captain Hook and Peter Pan, borrow from these very stories.
Bonnet was living in the Golden Age of piracy, and becoming a pirate could have definitely seemed an adventurous new beginning if that's what he was looking for. Some suggest that maybe he was having a midlife crisis. Few sources report that one of the Bonnet children passed away, and he took up piracy as he grieved. One more theory, this one is recorded in A General History of the Pirates, is that Bonnet turned to piracy because of, quote, discomforts he found in a married state.
Something made him unhappy enough to make a big life change.
Yes.
That's what we do know. Many experts, though, actually believe it was probably a combination of the personal pressures of his family life, along with his politics. The theory here is that he may have been a Jacobite, in support of James Stuart as King of England rather than George I. Historian and author of The Republic of Pirates, Colin Woodard, writes that, quote, most pirates at the time thought of themselves as in revolt against King George.
We're going to take a quick break now for a word from our sponsor. And when we're back, we'll get into how someone like Bonnet could meet someone like Blackbeard.
Hey, everybody, it's Holly. Listen, I've been doing stuff on stage since I was a kid, which means that I have been doing my makeup since I was a kid. And I can turn out a look when I need to, but on my day-to-day, I really like to keep it a little more relaxed and low-key. I don't have time for a full face most of the time. But that also means that Thrive Cosmetics can have me covered no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm doing something on stage, like I have an appearance or a live show, or I'm just running to the grocery store. Something in their line is perfect. And what I really love and what's important to me is that they are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. And to me, cruelty-free is very important in the cosmetics I use. I mentioned that I've been doing my makeup for a long time. I've gotten older in that time. And one of the things that I've done to refresh my look is switch over to their Brilliant Eye Brighteners and use something like a rose gold shade to really like go all around my eye and then just blend it out and get a daytime smoky look. It makes me look a little more youthful and more refreshed. And it's just easy as pie, and it means that I don't have to mess with a whole ton of products. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/criminalia. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/criminalia for 10% off your first order.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Time is money. The founders of Akala Wearable Vitamins believe this so much, they quit their jobs to build a product that helps prevent jet lag and hangovers. Now you can get the most out of that vacation to Vegas or the day after you have a few too many mojitos when you actually have to go back to work. For a limited time, first-time buyers have the chance to try Akala for 50% off. Go to akalo.co and enter code CRIME50 to get yours today. That's akalo.co, code CRIME50. Don't lose another moment to jet lag or hangovers. Welcome back to Criminalia. Let's talk about how Steed had a whole lot of enthusiasm, but absolutely no idea what he was doing.
The way that pirate crews typically worked was that crew members moved up the ranks. Typically, they'd start as part of the crew and then move on to stealing their first ship or maybe rise to captain a ship in a larger pirate fleet. The infamous pirate Blackbeard, for instance, worked his way up from deckhand to captain of his own 40-gun warship known as Queen Anne's Revenge. But instead of stealing his first ship, Steed bought one. He named it the Revenge and outfitted it to hold at least a dozen cannons. He hired a crew of 70 or 80 men whom he paid out of his own pocket, and this, too, was not at all typical. The captain and crew would normally be paid wages from what they stole. The Revenge also carried a library of books, mainly in the captain's stateroom, which is not something we've uncovered on any other pirate ships so far this season.
It's like a wave-riding cruise ship. Bonnet had absolutely no idea what he was doing during the beginning of his life of piracy. He and his crew, whom he completely relied upon, again, because he was green as could be, spent much of their time running up the Jolly Roger and looting ships along the Virginia coast. He did have a few piratey successes, pillaging rum and sugar and kidnapping enslaved individuals from ships along the seaboard from New York to South Carolina. At this time, these were, of course, all part of the British colonies.
Bonnet was a very inexperienced pirate, and when he attacked what he thought was a merchant's vessel off the coast of Florida, he quickly realized he had made a considerable mistake. He had actually attacked a Spanish man-of-war ship, a ship that was definitely not interested in trading. The battle ravaged the crew of the Revenge, and as many as half the crew were killed or injured. Bonnet and his ship, both also injured, limped back to Caribbean waters.
It's about this time that Bonnet met Edward Teach, or Thatch, also known, of course, as Blackbeard. And while there don't seem to be really many solid and reliable details about their meeting, we do know that it happened in late September of 1717, on the island of New Providence in the Bahamas. It is here, while he was injured, that Bonnet may have given temporary command of the Revenge to Blackbeard. Some suggest that Blackbeard, who was both an observant and opportunistic man, took the ship upon noticing that the crew of the Revenge didn't seem to have much respect for their captain. The crew, writes historian Lindley Butler, complained about their leader's, quote, personality weaknesses and poor seamanship.
Not good. Not good.
Sir, personality weaknesses stings,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I know.
It was also a better ship than the one that Blackbeard had at the time, and it has also been suggested that the men traded for it. There is a whole long list of possibilities as to what exactly happened, but ultimately, Blackbeard took control of the Revenge.
However it went down, Bonnet was no longer a pirate captain. He had no ship. Again, we have multiple versions of the story, and at this point, Bonnet either became what we're going to air quote call a guest on Blackbeard's ship, or he became a passenger on what had been his own ship. He spent his time in his stateroom on whichever ship, reading and not participating in much piracy, really, at all. Blackbeard, with the Revenge now part of his fleet, sailed north to terrorize the coastline along the Chesapeake Bay area.
Blackbeard and Bonnet together must have been quite a pair to see. Bonnet, of course, was accustomed to silk stockings and powdered wigs. He was a very fancy man, and he continued to dress that way as a pirate, in addition to his fancy coats and his leather shoes. Blackbeard, in comparison, was known for wearing a feathered tricorn hat, draping himself with swords and pistols, and frightening enemies by igniting bits of hemp or small candles that were tucked into his beard. While it's been written that Bonnet saw himself as Blackbeard's right-hand man, it's more likely that Blackbeard just saw Bonnet as a sucker.
There is a reference in A General History of the Pirates that suggests Bonnet may have had, at least once, second thoughts about his new pirate's life, saying that, quote, he would gladly leave off that way of living, being fully tired of it, but he should be ashamed to see the face of any Englishman again. Therefore, if he could get to Spain or Portugal, where he might be undiscovered, he would spend the remainder of his days in either of those countries.
The volume of pirate activity was becoming exasperating to authorities and to locals as well. Blackbeard was known to anchor near the Carolinas, and that was not just for a vacation. With a fleet of four ships, including the Revenge, Bonnet still along for the ride, plus several hundred men, Blackbeard sailed into the harbor at Charlestown in the province of South Carolina, which is, of course, now Charleston. And in what many historians consider to be his boldest act in his pirating career, Blackbeard set up a blockade of the port and took several ships and their passengers hostage for 6 days. Basically, no one could get in or out of the harbor. Everyone was turned loose when his demands for medicine were met. It's theorized among those who have studied his life that Blackbeard might have been trying to treat syphilis among his crew, and that's what he was there for in terms of medicine. But there is actually no solid answer as to what medications he may or may not have wanted. It was after this brazen act that authorities were determined to stamp out piracy once and for all.
The relationship between these two pirates was reportedly complicated, which I'm sure we can all imagine. And the two parted ways in the summer of 1718. The end came when Bonnet, tricked by Blackbeard, lost not only his crew and command of his ship, but then everything he had on the Revenge. As there always seems to be, there are two versions of what happened. And it's the same in this case between Bonnet and Blackbeard. The first version is actually pretty straightforward, and it goes like this. While Blackbeard and his fleet were docked in North Carolina, Bonnet went ashore. And when he returned to his ship, it had been looted and marooned. The end of version one. The second version has a little bit more detail and goes like this. Blackbeard, in an effort to get Bonnet away from the crew and the fleet, lied, saying he was going to take what the King of England was offering to stop piracy, a no-questions-asked royal pardon. Bonnet decided to follow suit, but when Bonnet returned from receiving his pardon from the governor of the province of North Carolina, a man named Charles Eden, he found he'd been double-crossed. Blackbeard may or may not have been given amnesty, but he had definitely looted the Revenge. There were somewhere between 5 to maybe 25 crew who remained, and Blackbeard was nowhere to be found.
Bonnet, now seeking revenge, returned to piracy despite his royal pardon. He began to go by the name of Captain Thomas, using that and other aliases to conceal his real identity from the authorities who had just pardoned him. Steed Bonnet isn't doing it, Captain Thomas is. We also read that he may have used the name Captain Edwards, but those records are a bit unclear as to when. So really, his efforts to conceal his movements worked, at least as far as the historical record is concerned. He also rechristened the Revenge to the Royal James, assembled a crew of 40 men, and sailed off in pursuit of Blackbeard, rumored to be anchored off the coast of Ocracoke Inlet. As it turns out, he set out on a 2-month trip that would not end as he expected. Always fun to do a little foreshadowing.
Unfortunately for Bonnet, Blackbeard did have a head start, and he did have greater skill. Bonnet's skills, though, had improved since he'd first taken to the seas, but he wasn't nearly up to the task as Blackbeard was. He had also learned from Blackbeard and other pirates he'd encountered just what was most often expected from being a pirate captain. So the once gentle captain who paid his crew a salary out of his own pocket took to abusing his crew, killing prisoners, and threatening civilians.
We're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. When we're back, we will talk about who Colonel William Rhett was and how he met Steed Bonnet.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Time is money. The founders of Akalo Wearable Vitamins believe this so much, they quit their jobs to build a product that helps prevent jet lag and hangovers. Now you can get the most out of that vacation to Vegas or the day after you have a few too many mojitos when you actually have to go back to work. For a limited time, first-time buyers have the chance to try Akalo for 50% off. Go to akalo.co and enter code CRIME50 to get yours today. That's akalo.co, code CRIME50. Don't lose another moment to jet lag or hangovers.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Welcome back to Criminalia. Let's talk about how just short-lived Steed's life of piracy actually was.
Late summer of 1718, while he was captaining the Royal James, is considered really the peak of Bonnet's career. He captures several vessels as he trawled the Atlantic seaboard. In July, for instance, Bonnet, as Captain Thomas and his crew, captured a merchant sloop called the Fortune off the coast of Delaware Bay. And just 2 days later, they seized the sloop Francis. Bonnet was beginning to gather a small fleet by pretending he was a legitimate merchant hoping to trade, and then seizing the merchant ships that he had duped. About 2 weeks after they sailed out of the Delaware Bay area, Bonnet and his crew reached the mouth of the Cape Fear River in the province of North Carolina.
Bonnet needed to perform routine repairs on the Royal James, which was taking on water from recent skirmishes. They sailed into a small waterway and remained there for about a month or so, intending to wait out the hurricane season before moving along. Bonnet captured and broke up the first ship, it said, that entered the area and used it as replacement parts for his sloop. It's reported that he also forced the crew of the captured ship to do most of the hard work.
As all of this was happening, the governor of the province of South Carolina was organizing a force in an effort to capture pirates along his coastline. That force was commanded by Colonel William Rhett, who was a British plantation owner and a pirate hunter. And his force consisted of two sloops, the Henry and the Sea Nymph. Each of those carried 8 guns.
It's believed that Rhett knew that pirates were gathering around Cape Fear because people told him so. There actually wasn't a lot of detective work that he needed to do. Among the informants was Bonnet's own Ignatius Pell. Pell was probably, very likely, Bonnet's quartermaster, which would have given him the most authority on board, second to the captain. He was Bonnet's right-hand man. Bonnet's sailing master, the ship's navigator, David Harriet, was also implicated.
Based on Pell and Harriet's good intelligence, Rhett found the Royal James just where he expected. After about 5 to 6 hours of fighting, Bonnet and his crew were captured on September 27, 1718. Bonnet threatened to blow up himself and the ship before he would ever surrender, but Rhett's men managed to overwhelm him and take the ship.
But it wasn't only Bonnet who Rhett was looking for. Rhett had information he'd also find Blackbeard, as well as the notorious pirate captain Charles Vane, a name you've surely heard us mention many times this season. Bonnet was not the only pirate said to be lurking there.
But Bonnet was the one captured by Rhett and transported in chains into Charlestown. It's said that he hoped he would be given a lenient sentence and that he would never be executed the pirate way by hanging, because he was a former gentleman. But Bonnet's hopes were dashed.
There were no proper jails or prisons in the province of South Carolina, and there wouldn't be until the early 1770s. However, because he was, at least before his acts of piracy, an affluent, educated man who was a former officer in the militia, Bonnet was allowed to be imprisoned in the home of the local marshal. That came with a certain, but small, amount of free rein, and a gentleman's agreement that he would not escape. Bonnet was held during the month between his capture and his trial.
Pell and Harriet testified against their captain and crew in exchange for clemency, and they were held for 3 weeks while waiting to be questioned. They, too, were also held in the marshal's house. That sounds tense. Despite that gentleman's agreement, Bonnet escaped. He may have bribed those guarding him to look the other way, but the escape probably happened with the aid of locals, in particular a local merchant named Richard Tookerman. Bonnet and Harriet were also able to flee, but what about Pell? Pell was in protective custody because he was to provide the prosecution with valuable evidence during that upcoming trial.
Rhett was relentless, though, and tracked Bonnet to nearby Sullivan's Island, where he captured him again.
The trials took place over the course of 3 weeks until November 12th. Trials plural because there was not just one. There were actually several small trials held for Bonnet and his crew, basically charging them with a variety of different things and trying each of them separately. Ultimately, 36 prisoners were found guilty of piracy. Most of the crew were charged with primarily 2 crimes. 1, the capture of the sloop Francis, and 2, the capture of the sloop Fortune. Sailors who had been aboard those vessels could and did testify against Bonnet and his crew. There were an additional 2 charges, the theft of goods out of the captured sloops, the Francis and the Fortune, but according to court records, just a handful of the crew were found guilty of those charges.
There were no defense attorneys in the courtroom, and there was no legal counsel for the crewmen. Bonnet, an educated man, acted as his own defense, but with little success. It may not seem like a fair and just trial, but it was what you could expect in the Anglo-American justice system in the early 18th century.
Bonnet had his own trial, and after the jury found him guilty, he was given what sources refer to as a, quote, stern lecture by the judge. During the trial, Judge Trott alluded to Bonnet's, quote, liberal education, and during sentencing, referred to the fact that he was, quote, generally esteemed a man of letters. Not much is known or recorded about if or where or when Bonnet received his education, but many sources refer to him as, quote, bookish. And of course, he did have that impressive library in his stateroom.
Bonnet was sentenced to execution by hanging, and on November 12th, Judge Trott handed down the same sentence he had delivered to the pirate crew. We quote, that you, the said State Bonnet, shall go from hence to the place where whence you came, and from thence to the place of execution, where you shall be hanged by the neck till you are dead.
Bonnet's fortune, gained through piracy, was added into the state treasury. Between sentencing and when his day of execution would be carried out, Bonnet wrote letters pleading his case as a gentleman to local authorities. Everything, he claimed, was really Blackbeard's fault. To the governor, he made a plea that is hard to imagine or stomach. He asked instead to have his arms and legs cut off to ensure that he would never sail again rather than be hanged, but his request for clemency went unanswered.
At the end of the trials, just 4 men were found not guilty. Bonnet and roughly 30 members of his crew were to be given a pirate's execution, and Bonnet himself was hanged on December 10th, 1718, at the gallows near White Point Garden in downtown Charlestown. Ignatius Pell, who turned King's evidence and was a witness for the prosecution, was never indicted, and he was never tried for anything. David Harriet, who had escaped the marshal's house with Bonnet, was indicted, but he was killed on Sullivan's Island before the trial concluded.
According to witnesses and noted by Charles Johnson / possibly Daniel Defoe, quote, all his resolution failed him, and his fears and agonies so wrought upon him that he was scarce sensible when he came to the place of execution. His piteous behavior under sentence very much affected the people of Provence, particularly the women, and great application was made to the governor for saving his life, but in vain.
Bonnet's body was buried below the low tide mark in a muddy marsh, as were the rest of his crew. Done so, no trace of the men would remain. While maybe it's not the end you'd expect for an 18th century gentleman plantation owner, it may be exactly what you may imagine for a bunch of pirates.
Although his pirate career was short, Stede Bonnet was part of a gang of unaffiliated pirates who plundered the Caribbean. These are the pirates, quote, responsible for the images we have of pirates today, according to historian Colin Woodard. Bonnet never did find Blackbeard to enact whatever revenge plan he had in mind. But not only are Bonnet and Blackbeard's legends intertwined, they have some parallels. They both had short-lived careers in piracy, and both were captured and executed at the end of 1718. Blackbeard was killed fighting British soldiers near Ocracoke Island off the coast of the province of North Carolina on November 22, 1718, in a notoriously gruesome story that includes his beheading. And of course, Bonnet was executed just a couple of weeks later on December 10th that same year.
Pirate Captain Bartholomew Roberts, who was a contemporary of Blackbeard and Bonnet, once declared, and we quote, a merry life and a short one shall be my motto. Bonnet, who may have been living out his dream, was 30 years old when he was executed.
What a peppy place to land, Maria.
I know. Now I don't even feel like inviting you into the groggery. I just want to go
lie down. Oh, come into the groggery, because it's delicious today.
So what you serving?
So, in thinking about Mr. Bonnet, one of the things I was thinking about was his gentleman history. And so I came up with a drink called the Powdered Wig.
I was hoping you were going to go with something about his fashion.
Yes, of course I did. This drink also has its own roots in history. It's a flip. Do you know what that is?
I actually have heard of it, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
You're about to. A flip is a class of drinks. That term was first used in the late 17th century. And a flip has no cream, so it's not a nog. But the idea is that you emulsify the ingredients, which is sometimes called flipping or frothing them, to the point that they become very creamy. Originally, a flip was a mix of beer and rum and sugar, and it was served hot. You would actually stick a red hot iron into the mug where it was mixed together so it would heat up and kind of froth. That's not how we do that anymore. I mean, I guess you could, but please don't. Our version is easier. It's rather luxurious. And it reflects kind of how flips are made today, because now they involve the use of a raw egg.
I don't like eggs. I'm working with you on it. I'll get there.
I'm telling you, Maria, you're missing out. You're missing out. Now, obviously, we should give the warning, the caveat that eating uncooked or raw things always comes with a bit of risk. I'm a big fan of the egg drink. So, oh, baby, this one's good. Okay, so here's what's a flip. It's so easy to make, and it is velvety. So it also, you know, harkens back to Bonnet's style, because I'm sure he had some velvet garments in there.
Oh, you know it.
And it starts with 2 ounces of vanilla cognac, which is brain-bendingly delicious. And then 1 ounce of simple syrup, and then an egg, the whole egg. This is in a whites-only situation. So you don't have to separate your egg into white and yolk.
It's I made a face.
But girl, I'm telling you.
But I'm listening. I'm with you. I'm following.
Back your judgment truck up out of this parking lot, because it's delicious.
I will give it a try.
Then you put this in your shaker and you just shake it like the dickens. You don't have to put ice in it. It's usually served a little room temperature. Ice can mess up with how the egg emulsifies sometimes. If it's too cold, like, you won't get it quite right. You pour it into, I like a slightly chilled glass, but not like a chilled glass. I put it in a coupe, and then you sprinkle something like nutmeg or pumpkin pie spice on top.
You might have me with a little nutmeg on top. You might. I imagine that the texture is amazing. And if you handed it to me and you didn't tell me what was in it, I'd be like, this is fantastic.
That is correct. Because yes. It doesn't taste eggy. That vanilla brandy, it very much tastes like a dessert beverage. It does taste very fancy and luxurious. I bet Steed Bonnet would love one.
He's making them in his stateroom while he's reading.
I'm so in love with it. I don't even know how to deal with myself. For the non-alcoholic version, you will just sub out a low-sugar apple juice for that vanilla brandy. And then instead of simple syrup, use a vanilla syrup. Or if you don't have a vanilla syrup, use your simple syrup and then just like a dash of vanilla extract. Oh man, it's so good. I'm telling you, I'm waxing rhapsodic about this beverage because I love it that much. So that is the powdered wig. I'm going to be drinking a lot of these this autumn and winter. I can tell you that.
Feels like a good autumny winter beverage, even before you sprinkle the nutmeg on it.
Well, and the nice thing is that it feels fancy, but it is the easiest thing on earth to throw together. And you can find flips with a lot of other spirits as the primary component, like a regular cognac. You'll find those a lot of the time. I'm kind of obsessed with vanilla cognac right now. Some will have rum instead. Like, you can mess around with what that includes. But that cognac, it's got a nice, full and deep flavor profile.
Very warm for this season.
So that's the powdered wig. We hope you enjoy it if you give it a whirl. Don't be like Maria and fear the egg. It's delicious.
I don't fear the egg. I don't fear the egg. I just don't like eggs, but it's not like this is a scrambled egg we're putting in things. So it might be fine, right? It could be fine.
No, it's delicious. It's amazing. I hope if you are trepidatious about eggs that you give it a whirl. You never know. Your favorite thing could be out there and you don't even know it yet because you haven't tried it yet. So I'm always a big fan of trying things. If you don't like it, hand it to a friend. But always, experience all the world has to offer, much like Steed Bonnet tried to do and then messed it up. Thank you for hanging out with us today while we talk about Pirates on Criminalia. We will be right back here next week with another pirate and another cocktail and hopefully a lot more fun. Criminalia is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Time is money. The founders of Akalo wearable vitamins believe this so much, they quit their jobs to build a product that helps prevent jet lag and hangovers. Now you can get the most out of that vacation to Vegas or the day after you have a few too many mojitos when you actually have to go back to work. For a limited time, first-time buyers have the chance to try Akalo for 50% off. Go to akalo.co and enter code CRIME50 to get yours today. That's akalo.co, code CRIME50. Don't lose another moment to jet lag or hangovers.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.